You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
The talk title that I have for this week and the deck that's loaded into the computer here and ready to talk about the power of imagination for us to create and we entered a war. And so, do I want to talk about imagination? Yeah, I actually do. But I want to talk about it in a different way. We need our collective imagination. We need each and every one of us to imagine a world that works for everyone, no exceptions and no exclusions, period, where everyone has the right to thrive, to live, to breathe free, and not be subject to death and violence and assassination because of their religion, because of the color of their skin, because of their nationality, and because of someone's whim. Yes. That's the world we're living in right now. And as we've talked about before, it's all being done in our name because we are here living in this country, the richest country on the planet. And we have the largest military on the planet. And this is all things that we have imagined and have manifested in our lives. And yet we lose control of the thing manifested and things done in our name. So I couldn't stand up here today and pretend that service members of the U.S. have been killed, and there are families grieving right now because their sons and daughters are dead and maimed. I cannot stand up here today and pretend that we're just going to talk about the power of imagination and what we can achieve in the world when there are people who are suffering and waiting for bombs to rain down on them at this moment across the Mideast. And in Ukraine, and in war-torn areas all over the world. And there are communities right here and right now, people that we all know, or some of us know, that are hiding right now for fear of being arrested, imprisoned, and deported without any due process. All those things are happening right now. So what are we going to talk about here? So we teach our principle. We teach that what we believe creates. We teach and we know that our thoughts and our words have power. So how do I want to use my words here today? And I want to be really careful about what I'm thinking. I do really believe that there is nothing and no one against me. Right? That's one of the Unity teachings, that all of this is happening for me. So the things that I don't like, that I'm seeing in the outside world, that I'm seeing happen, are reflections of some part of my consciousness. And that's hard to look at. That my attacks of others, of systems, of governments, of individuals, of politicians, my attacks have power, of religious prejudices, of religious doctrines that call me an infidel, that call me a heretic, that call me not worthy of God's love because of my sexuality or because of my skin color or because of your nationality or because of your faith that we're going to hell. Well, I think we're in it. I think we're in this collective hell, that our power of imagination is so amazing. And as a nation, we have manifested the wealth, the abundance, and the power, the raw physical power to impose our will on Venezuela, to impose our will on Iran, to impose an embargo of a nation because we think we can. And what's missing for me is the humility to go, should we? Just because we can, should we? I mean, that's really what it is. It's like, do we know better than other people? And most of us in this room, grew up after World War II. You may have been alive for it. I know there's some of you who are alive for it, but you were children, right? And you weren't the ones making the decisions at that moment, okay? In general terms, I was born, I'm boomer, born in 1959, right? I'm the tail end of the boomer generation. And that idea that I could have the whole world on a platter is an American idea. It's about the power of imagination. And I was raised in that. The world is my oyster. Because I'm a white, cisgendered male, that's for the most part true. But for those of you who are female in the audience, that wasn't necessarily your given. And for those of you who are of color or not born here in the United States, that may not have been your given. So I want us to open to the possibility that we might actually be wanting to imagine what we can be on the inside, both individually and collectively, as a people, as a nation. And yes, there are things we need to manifest in the physical world, the external things we need to manifest. But there's also the intrinsic, the things we need to manifest within us, the capacity for understanding someone else's journey, the capacity for compassion for people who are not like us, the capacity to see beyond the corner and not just take this month's profits and this week's win on social media or in military might because we have the most bombs. And to think what it means to assassinate a religious leader of another country and how that really is going to come back to us, because there is no action without reaction. There is no cause without effect. There is no word without the corresponding result. And so we have to sit here today, stand here today, and to find some way to use our principles, to use our teachings, to use what we know to shift it. This is a slide that I had planned to share with you. Imagination is not a fantasy. It is one of the most powerful creative faculties we possess. So what if we can imagine a nation for ourselves, for the United States of America, where we lead with compassion and curiosity first, where we lead with kindness and strength, meaning that we can stand in the face of obstacles and not have to waver from our principles? What if we can all imagine together a country where we live up to our founding documents and to the words written on the Statue of Liberty, and we welcome people from all over the world because we know there is more than enough to go around. Yes. And that you and you and you having more does not take it away from me. And that you and you and you having an abundant, fulfilling life, regardless of what your sexual orientation is, regardless of what your religious belief is, regardless of what you believe about politics, benefits us all, and that your rising up changes everything. It changes it for me. It makes me have more possibility, and that together we weave a tapestry of love, a tapestry of hope, of faith, of power, of individual responsibility, and of collective responsibility. That we are here to help, to lift each other, to share what is possible in the world. What if we took this blank slate of imagination and said, okay, folks, let's imagine something that's greater than exists today. Let's imagine a world that works for everyone. What does that mean for you? What does it mean to imagine a world that works for everyone? No exceptions, no exclusions. Who do you see? Who are you interacting with? How does that benefit you? How does expanding the pie benefit you? And to really go through that question, not to state it arbitrarily, not to state it as a matter of, oh, we just believe in a world that works for everyone. Well, what does that world that works for everyone look like? Does it look like a rich table of abundance? When I first walked into a Unity church, it was in New York City. There are 3,000 people in the concert hall where they're having a Unity service, right? And it had every race, it had every gender, it had every sexual orientation, and it had every age, from the little ones to the old folks that we are, that I've become. I was in my 20s then, but I am still here, still holding that vision. And what was most important for me is I remember one of the first talks I heard Eric Butterworth said is that everything begins with imagination. Everything begins as a thought in the head. And he used a demonstration of a big, tall skyscraper they were building right across the street from Avery Fisher Hall. And he said it was an idea in someone's head until they drew it, and then they handed the drawings off to someone else who built it. Well, that's what we can do about building this nation, about building this community right here and right now. Tom, I know, has talked to you about it, about seeing every seat filled here. And I talked to you about it last week, about the collective effervescence. But why? Why do we want the collective effervescence? It's more than this thing, this material thing of every seat filled. The reason for it is that we are changing hearts and minds. We collectively are building something greater than we can do alone. And then we come together in our diversity, in our multinationalism, in our plurality, we get wiser. Do we get that? We get wiser because there is more than one perspective. There is an opening of our experience and an opening of our hearts and minds so that we can create a world that works for everyone by experiencing a little bit more of the richness that is out there. We live on a planet that has such diversity, and yet we get into our little bubbles all the time, and we think, I'm going to protect this little piece of my heaven. I'm going to take this moment to retreat from that scary, frightening, mean world out there and keep myself safe. But what we do when we do that is we abdicate our power. We say, someone else will take care of it. Someone else will create it. Someone else will do it. There's no one else coming. There's not a savior coming from heaven. It's going to descend on a cloud or in a beam of light and come save us all. God sent you. God sent me. God sent each and every one of us to create something that's never existed before. You know, this is what I was going to talk to you about today. This woman, her name is Amy Mullins, and I've talked to you about her before, and she's in my book. She's phenomenal. If you look closely at this picture, she's a model. She's a modeling Kenneth Cole shoes right here. But if you notice really carefully, the shoes she's modeling it on are prosthetic. She has no legs, but lengthened knees. Right? She has a height adjustment of 5'8" to 6'2", depending on the prosthetics she wears. And she's a good friend of hers when she was at a bar in Manhattan, she walked in at 6'2", and she goes, "Amy, that's not fair. It's not fair that you can change the height of your body at your will, depending on what legs you put on for the day." Right? It's like, that's Amy. She was born without fibula legs, and her parents had to make the heart-rending decision to amputate her legs at the age of one so that she'd have some chance of mobility in her life. And she went on to be a Paralympic champion, and she was the first person to run on the cheetah legs. And that's a picture of her. Excuse me. There's a picture of her competing in the Paralympics and a picture of her as a model. She's a model, an activist, an author, and a speaker, which is powerful. And I don't share this with you as disability porn. I don't share with you as, you know, I share it because I know that each and every one of us have overcome something like that. Each and every one of you have overcome something that is as disabilitating, and that you're here and that you're on this planet and that you're still kicking is a miracle, and that you have within you the power and the possibility to do some miraculous things, some important things that the world needs. The world absolutely needs. Look at what happened this week. Look at what happened this 2 months. We are 2 months into this year, and I have stood on this platform almost every Sunday having to talk about what's going on, who was murdered, what's going on in the world. And I am exhausted from having to do that, but I will not stop. It will not stop until it shifts. I will not stop until we shift. I will not stop until I shift and open to owning the power within me. Eric Butterworth, my first Unity minister, the man I talked to you about just a minute ago, wrote a book called Discover the Power Within You. And here we are. He wrote it over 40 years ago. And here we are. I still want to talk about it. Discover the power within you. You are a remarkable, amazing human being. What you have overcome is astonishing. And what you have within you that could bless the world is equally astonishing and miraculous. And your playing small does not serve anyone. So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? We are going to stand for love. We're going to stand for justice and equality. We're going to stand for equality of every person on the planet. We're going to stand for peace, that bombs will not create peace. Bombs will not solve anything. It's like hitting your child to make them stop hitting someone else. Yeah, that's logical, folks. And yet, I know it's human nature. I know it's human nature. We want to use physical force to get something we want. But the path to peace is only through peace. The path to justice is only through justice. The path to love is only through love. So let's imagine a world. Imagine me in a world that works for everyone. No exceptions, no exclusions. Imagination is not escapism. It's rehearsal. We need to rehearse. We need to rehearse what it's going to be like when we have conversations with people who disagree with us. We need to rehearse what it's going to be like to hold the vision for a world where bombs aren't the go-to. We need to rehearse what it's like to be vulnerable and to say, yes, I did that wrong. Yes, I too have attacked rather than listened. I too have blamed rather than loved. I too have hated rather than sought forgiveness. I too have dropped things. Physically and metaphorically, I too have things to learn. I too want it to be different. And I am willing to be different. Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco, and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.